The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
Final hour of the week, and let's get back to the calls. We have Spencer Hall joining us in just a few minutes, talking about the Dogs. And let's check in with John, who is in Georgia. Hey, John.
Hey, Paul. How are you?
Very well. Thank you.
Well, I love the show. I have a lot of respect for you and the way that you do what you do, but that's not the reason why I called. I have a couple questions for you with these new TV deals, and I read a couple articles, and I couldn't get a straight answer. What I'm wondering is, are these networks paying these conferences just to televise football, or is basketball included in that as well as other sports? And if so, how does that money get distributed at the schools between all the different sports? I mean, is all this money going straight to the football program, or, you know, how is all that working?
Yeah, John, the basketball is part of it, and other sports are included, but basketball is the big enchilada. It is so far beyond anything else. And so when there are several ways that conferences bring in revenue from television. Number one, it's with your main carrier. So moving ahead a couple of years from now, the SEC has an exclusive contract for football and basketball with ESPN. There's also the CFP money that comes into various conferences, which is also very high. But the majority of the money comes from football. And this most recent Big Ten deal has gone over $1 billion a year. And they have three carriers that are all paying them more than $350 million, where the SEC package is considerably less than that. And that has certainly raised a lot of eyebrows lately.
Sure, and I caught the tail end of a couple callers ago, and he may have asked this question, but what I'm wondering now is, does the SEC go back and try to renegotiate since they're like, hey, the Big Ten just got all this money, why are we not getting that money?
Well, it's a really interesting question. What's interesting even more is that the SEC deal in football hasn't even gone into effect yet, and we're already having this conversation.
Right.
The most important clause, I think, in the contract is for it deals with expansion. So when there was a clause in there in the deal that has not gone into effect yet that I think stipulates that if new schools come in, their value to the network is attributed to $80 million a school. So, yeah, the SEC picks up $160 million more whenever the new deal goes into effect. That doesn't sound like a lot considering what we just got through seeing, but it was the biggest problem with the old deal that was signed 15 years ago or almost 15 years ago. There was no clause for that. So when the SEC expanded in 2012 with Texas A&M and Missouri, the conference got nothing. And CBS, you know, being a rather poor partner, refused to give them anything. And that's the singular reason why the conference, in my estimation, couldn't wait to get out of business with CBS. And unfortunately, we're still in business with them for two more years. Because, I mean, that is about as cheesy as it gets with a longtime carrier, one that that has brought so many more millions back to that network. But that's business, and that's the situation that the SEC was in.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. I like the games on CBS. And for the record, I am a SEC fan, and I've never minded Gary Danielson. I thought he does a good job. He analyzes the games well, and I don't feel like he's biased at all. Well, but that's not the reason why I called.
That's okay. And John, one more thing, and I'll repeat. And I think people get confused because you heard the other day with the Big Ten contract. It's going to be on Fox. It's going to be on NBC. It's going to be on CBS, and the SEC deal is on ESPN. That's not exactly correct. The SEC deal can also be on ABC, which is a one of the, and things change. I mean, now with streaming is now seen by more people on a daily basis than the major networks. But it's still a significant factor that you'll see the games probably end up on ABC, where ESPN will have a smorgasbord of other games too. Let's continue with more phone calls. And Roland is up next in Florida. Hey, Roland.
Good afternoon, Paul. How are you today, sir?
Very well, thank you.
I'm calling from Clewiston, Florida, down around Lake Okeechobee, and we got a little high school football tonight, and here locally at some jamborees, and, you know, my wife and I and all my friends, we're getting a little excited about
the season. I'm looking up at the local TV here, and there's a high school game being previewed. Yeah, tonight is the night across most of the South, where a lot of places the first game tonight, and some places which I remember those jamborees when I was growing up. Those were really exciting. Every team, I think, played one quarter, didn't they?
Yes, sir. You know, back when I played, they'd do a quarter, and then you'd swap and play another team. And typically there were four teams per jamboree. I think now they do the same thing in most places, but okay. some places play a half, and then there's only four teams involved in that, but they play a half now in some schools. But anyway, I've been enjoying your show today, and my wife's a Florida Gator fan, and she's a big SEC girl, great person. She loves football, knows all the ins and outs and all the calls more so probably than I do sometimes. But anyway, the reason I'm calling is I've got a lot of respect for the SEC, and I enjoy watching the competition there in that conference. It's prime time for sure. But I'm an FSU graduate, FSU fan, diehard, and my questions pertain to the program there, Paul, and I think that maybe you had some conversation with Mike Norvell maybe yesterday.
Yes.
Two questions, sir. I like Mike Norvell's energy. I think there's not probably going to be a harder working coach that I know of anyway. I wanted to ask you, do you think that he's the guy that can pull this program back up to a respectable and competitive level in national prominence? And then my second question would be, was there any vibe or do you have any thoughts on the possibility of Florida State joining the SEC in the near future?
Yeah, Roland, I like Norvell too. Met him first in Memphis and have gotten to know him better in the last couple of months, having been with him and talking to him yesterday. I think he does have a good chance. Now, I think this year it's just absolutely critical. He can't go backwards, and he knows that. As far as the other question, I definitely believe Florida State is a contender for the SEC. Right now, everyone is saying nothing is going to happen. It's quiet. And I think there's a lot of truth in that, because it's so difficult to digest new schools. You know that. You've seen it firsthand. But the second somebody does it, it's going to be like the California gold rush. And that's when
domino effect.
That's when the SEC is in a position. Somebody's going to make the first move here, maybe 2 years from now. It may be longer, but it will happen. And I think both the SEC and the Big Ten ultimately, now what's ultimately? Is it 5 years? Is it 10 years? But it's sometime in the future we'll go to there. I think Florida State is definitely in consideration. And no, it doesn't. Whatever happened in the past 30 years ago really is irrelevant. They're an attractive school. They bring a lot to the table. And I think they would be very high. The ACC, to put it mildly, is in trouble. And you know that.
That's my fear.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's my fear.
It's for the very same reason we've been talking about. Their television deal is so out of date already that if you're a Florida State fan, once this stuff goes into effect, you're already at a disadvantage in your own state with Florida. Same in South Carolina. South Carolina's revenues are going to be nearly double Clemson in two or three years. And you can't stand for that. So you have to figure out a way to either address it, which I don't know how they can, unless they give Clemson and Florida State a higher share of the money. And that's a suicidal.
Frankly. That'd be nice. Yeah.
You can't do that. Or get an, and I would think Florida State would be extremely high on the SEC's list.
Well, that's optimistic and encouraging. You know, I know the contract's expensive, very expensive, maybe above $50 million. It might be close to $100 million to get out of that ACC bind and contract.
But I tell you what, the ACC, they can stand on that, or they can try to figure out a way to just accept the loss. Sometimes, thanks for the call. Sometimes in business, you just have to take a loss, and that would be a big one. But I think there are a lot of great schools in the ACC, but their football future does not look great. We'll take a break. More to come right after this.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We're back, and it's been a long time since we've had Spencer Hall on. Had to double-check his name. It's been so long, but you'll start seeing a lot of him coming up here in the next few months. Been writing about Stetson Bennett and the Dogs. What do you expect from Spencer writing about Stetson?
I expect a respectable performance, Paul. That's what we need to do, because the story I don't want to talk about is about how nobody respects Stetson Bennett. It's not true.
I agree.
It's not true. So we just go ahead. We have a status where we stop talking about whether somebody's going to be in the NFL or not. We just say, this is an officially respectable quarterback.
Let's get to something more important than that. How did you spend your summer?
Let's see. Moved. Don't ever move, Paul. There's a bunch of boxes still in this house, so I don't know where anything is. And with football season coming, it's probably going to be another 4 months before I realize where anything is in
the house.
Did you
move within the same city, or did you go elsewhere?
I moved within the same city, still in Atlanta. But I will tell you, honestly, don't know if it's any less trouble. Might be more, because sometimes you think, oh, I can just take that in my car instead of boxing it up. Don't do it.
No.
Do not ever do it.
No, I've done that before.
Yeah, it's officially the worst, but the best once you get settled in.
Okay, so
now
for
the first time,
what's the most challenge? I mean, I can't imagine even driving to the corner grocery in Atlanta. It's so crazy. But how far did you have to go?
You know, it's like 12 miles. 12 miles. It might as well have been 120.
That's 2 weeks trying to get through Atlanta, isn't it? I mean, 12
that's
miles
correct.
In Atlanta.
Yeah, that's correct.
That's
12
like
miles in Atlanta
years.
Might as well be 120.
Well, I'm going. Why did you move? You trying to take advantage of inflation or what?
Well, you know, occasionally the bill collectors find you, so you have to change your name and move.
Yeah, I know why you moved, Spencer. Now that you've got your own regular show, you're making all that big ESPN money, and you had to buy a bigger house.
Multiple identities. It is an SEC network show. Paul, so we're not quite ready for the mansion yet. All right, but when I do, no one will know where it is. I don't understand the point buying a big house that everybody can see. I thought the whole point of being wealthy was to buy a house that nobody knew where it was.
Yeah, then that would not be the case in my neighborhood where everybody's showing off, even though there's nothing to show off. Not that I have any problem with my neighbors. They're all great people. Self-absorbed, but great. Can we go to a break? I got to get this out of my system. So, Spencer, okay, let's get to the – I want to get you the big story of the week, and that's the national media adulation for the Big Ten and how they've conquered the world, and us poor little souls who cover the SEC are being swept out to sea. Can you give this your best Spencer Hall perspective?
A triumph of marketing, Paul. That's what this is. Because they call the entire conference big. When you're really paying for Ohio State and Michigan, that's about it. I'm just astonished that we managed, because I will say this, I believe in free markets. I believe markets are free to make mistakes. I believe markets never make mistakes. So obviously, the Big Ten must be worth $1 billion. I've been mistaken my entire life. I didn't think Rutgers, Indiana at noon was worth a $17 ticket. To me, that feels like a $16 ticket. I've been wrong. Evidently, that's a $1 billion ticket across three different networks. My favorite thing about this deal is this. One, I guarantee you Rutgers is going to end up in debt. I don't know how they do it, but Rutgers manages to lose money no matter what they do. Two, Maryland, geniuses, absolute geniuses. Maryland football goes from being in debt and being at the bottom to the mid-bottom of the ACC, and now they're part of a $1 billion contract. You know what you call that? Finesse. Absolute finesse on the part of the Maryland Terrapins. Finally, I cannot wait to hear the complaints from when people have to use Peacock so they can find their beloved Northwestern Wildcats playing Nebraska on a streaming service that barely works. So there's a lot of good things to say about this. You can ask somebody else about those. I will tell you all of the funny bad things.
Spencer, speaking of streaming services, the country's in for a big shock here in about 3 weeks when we all tune to Amazon Prime for Thursday Night Football, and people go, is that channel what?
That
is going to be a night in America that the reality is going to strike.
It's going to be amazing when people do that. It's going to be amazing when they figure out what they have to do to get to Thursday Night Football, and then everybody's going to be mad because it'll still be the same game. It won't be anything different. It won't be anything special. It'll still be like Cleveland versus Cleveland. I don't know how it always works out. Cleveland always ends up playing on Thursday night.
No, you're right. And by the way, we're joking about streaming services, but you saw the thing the other day that more people now stream television than they do watch it on conventional channels like this one.
Yeah, and that's really sort of one of the things the Big Ten was looking for, is a way to figure out how to continue to make that transition, because that's not going anywhere. But another thing that's not going anywhere is the inherent value of events. There is one other nifty thing about the Big Ten deal, which is that not only will it be up before the SEC's next deal, the Big Ten's next deal, they get to sell it twice. They get to sell this twice before their main rival, the SEC, really gets another crack at it. Now, is that the end of the story? No. I guarantee you, anyone who sees this as an absolute win, you're wrong. Anyone like me who's just willing to make fun of it, I guarantee you I'm a winner because, one, I don't have to acknowledge all the good things about it. Two, because I'm not a Big Ten honk. Two, there probably are some good things, but there's going to be disadvantages through this all along. Like, remember when the Pac-12 got their new revolutionary TV deal? Not to get too far in the weeds, we all thought – pardon me, we all thought, ooh, what an extraordinary way to do business. This is going to change things. This is interesting. This is bold. And it was a disaster for the conference. So for everybody who assumes that the Big Ten is a 100% winner out of this, that the SEC won't have a response down the road, or that other conferences like the Big 12, Pac-12 don't have a good play in this, we're all wrong.
So, I mean, I like what you're saying, and it's come up so many times this week, and I've yet to come up with really an appropriate answer other than to say the Big Ten, congratulations, they've done well. Yesterday, when all this was breaking, I think they had I think they had reruns of Minnesota and Purdue hockey on. And I bring that up because, not to blow our own horn here, but we sit here every day, Spencer, like we're doing now. We're covering college sports. We're not just covering the league that's name is on the network.
Correct, because it's all tied together, and what will be tied together is evaluation. Think about where the bar is set now. Someone just sold Iowa football as part of a package for $1 billion, Paul. What do you think the SEC's next valuation is going to be? It has to be more than $1 billion. So if you're looking for a silver lining in this for somebody who would want to feel better about the SEC's position, look at that. You sold Rutgers for $1 billion. Probably going to do better when it comes time to sell Alabama and Georgia. Just a hunch.
It is a hunch, and I appreciate what you've said here. And by the way, Spencer, so far, give me a second to turn my page here on the script. You are reading this just like we wrote it.
Correct. I am right here because we are nothing but shills. We're nothing but shills, and that's what we're doing here. I will say this, by the way, one more thing, that with the Big Ten, I have no idea what they're going to spend this money on. None. I think Michigan's already built the nicest like rowing facility you've ever seen. When the rowing facility is getting their own really nice, luxurious building, you've got too much money coming into sports to not give it to the players, right? You run out of excuses. You can't say, well, we think the lacrosse facility needs a redo before we do that. No, it's over.
Well, I'm glad to hear it. There were so many other things I wanted to talk to you about, but I don't want to bury the lead. Oh, by the way, so when does your show begin?
We will be Labor Day weekend. We're going to do a show recapping most of the action because I believe LSU is playing that night, Monday night. We've got an SEC game, I believe, that night.
So you're on opposite LSU?
I don't believe we are, but okay. It'll be that weekend. It's that weekend. And Thinking Out Loud will return on the SEC network. There'll be me and Richard Johnson every Monday night recapping the weekend that was, having a little fun, and wearing loud shirts. Most importantly, we'll be wearing loud shirts.
How surprised were you, Richard, you and Richard Spencer were renewed? Because I mean, the betting line around here, I had you canceled. What about you, Randy? Randy had you out. I think Brams was behind you because he's a great friend of yours and used to produce your show. And Jamari just said, I don't want to get in the middle of that family feud. So were you surprised that the network said you're coming back?
Well, I'm going to let you in on a little secret, Paul. We do the show for Cookout gift certificates. So it's very hard to beat the price.
I get it. So because I thought some of the rumors around here were that change was in the air and they had found a new team. The bosses here were at the mall one day and they ran into two guys they thought would be better.
Well, we're very dense and hard to move, right? Like, you'd have to hire a moving crew, and that, again, that's an expense. It's easier just to leave us in the studio.
Well, I'm glad Richard is coming back, too, because he's always been my favorite of the Thinking Out Loud crew.
No, same. We're on the same team here, Paul. He's like, I am clearly and openly, I just trail off him. Like, he carries the whole show, and I get it free. Think of me this way, Paul. I am the Maryland football in the Big Ten deal, okay? I am the Rutgers football, and Richard is the Ohio State, just carrying us to billion-dollar success.
You'll see so much more of that on Monday night on Thinking Out Loud. What time does the NFL countdown start on ESPN? Yeah. Does it start around the same time? Yeah. Anyway, Spencer, I just want to double-check your name here. We will see you in a couple weeks on Labor Day night, assuming that we're still here, too.
Yeah, again, you know, if the price goes up from Cookout gift certificates, you know, I'd welcome that. But until then, you're going to have to deal with this live on the SEC network. Thanks so much, Paul.
I've got some Bush Beans. That's one of the new SEC sponsors. So I haven't opened my can yet. I'll leave that in your studio next door. Thank you, Spencer. Great to have you on. We just do whatever we can to promote the show. And we're coming right back.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we are back, and I-Man is up next.
Hey, good afternoon, Paul. I tell you, that's some great bumper music there, Kansas. That brings back some old memories. Man, I tell you, they were pretty awesome band back in the day. You ever have a song get stuck in your head sometimes?
Yes. Dust in the Wind?
No, not that one.
By the way, what was the song Kansas was singing?
I was trying to think of it.
Okay. Carry on.
Miracles out of nowhere.
They got a lot of good ones. I saw them.
Oh yeah,
I've seen them in concert before when I was in college.
I saw them in Boulder, Colorado, yeah, with the Rolling Stones, Eddie Money, and Peter Tosh.
Oh wow, what a night!
And the live album that Kansas had actually had some pictures from that concert.
Yeah, I bet there was some Rocky Mountain High feelings.
I was listening to some Stones earlier, and the song 2,000 Light Years from Home just been in my head. Mm. And you know, I've never looked it up, but you know, a light year is a long way. I mean, a light year is equal to 6 trillion miles. Six trillion miles. 2,000 light years away, the Stones were singing. 6 trillion a year. You know, they said a human, it would take 37,200 years to travel one light year. I don't think we can make that flight.
There's been some calls.
You'd have to have a hell of an airplane. Well, I mean, you know, there's a bunch of people out there selling tickets. So, you make that kind of money, you probably buy one of them tickets. I don't know why y'all pulled my tweet down. It was an honest tweet. It said, I'm taking Jim for a walk. I got a dog named Jim. He ain't much of a dog. He's 11 years old, human life, which translates to 77 years dog life. I had to pull him in a wagon, but it's a legit tweet. And he came with papers, Paul. You know what kind of papers that dog Jim had? He had a 1948 Chicago newspaper said, Dewey wins. Dewey wins.
Dewey defeats Truman.
That's right. Paul, I mean, and I really like the guy you had on there, the less guy, the Thinking Out Loud. They're an asset to this company.
Yes,
and y'all ought to be proud to have them as teammates. I mean, they do a lot for this program. I enjoy them sometimes. 2,000 light years away from home. 6 trillion miles. That's a long damn way. Have a good weekend.
We should have left the Kansas song on. Johnny is up next in Tennessee. Hello, Johnny.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing today?
We are doing great. Thank you.
I'm kind of impressed with you being like a living encyclopedia of sports for the Southeastern Conference, because earlier you were talking to a Kentucky guy, and he was talking about Ray Mears being a thorn in the side of Kentucky.
Right.
And it kind of reminded me that Ray Mears' thorn in his side was a guy named Bernard King. Bernard had a habit of going around campus and getting things that didn't belong to him.
Yeah.
And Ray would have been a big real proponent of NIL, because he kept saying, that Ernie and Bernie were the big show for Tennessee, and they were commodities bringing in thousands of dollars, and they needed to give them some money because they brought so much money to the university.
Well, let me say this, and Johnny, I was there at the time. You may have known that, and I got to know both of them very well. I traveled with the team, and particularly got to know Bernard. He didn't talk to many people. He was unusual, a guy from New York who shows up in Knoxville, Tennessee. But let me say this about my old friend, Ernie Grunfeld. He may not have been paid NIL money, but there wasn't a store in Knoxville that he didn't walk into and walk out with free clothes. I can guarantee you that.
like I say, you're an encyclopedia of sports.
No, that was my introduction to college athletics when Ernie would go down to, and I'm not going to mention the name of the store, but everybody in Knoxville, he'd walk out with suits and jackets and shoes and Bernard didn't understand that you could get that stuff for free in Knoxville. You didn't have to go the other way.
Right. Now I did have another question too, since you remember way back a lot of things going on.
Sure.
But as I remember, you know, they're talking about all these TV rights and money coming in for TV and everything. Does Texas not still have their own TV station or their own TV affiliate?
What Texas has is what's called the Longhorn Network. That was what the school ended up getting in an effort not to go to the Pac-12. Mac Brown said that the other day. He was a coach at the time. That has been a thorn in everybody's side. ESPN is the partner in that. And I don't know what the future of it is, but I'm sure it will disappoint.
Well, as I remember it, and you would know, didn't Missouri and Texas A&M win that part of the reason they wanted to get out of the Southwest Conference because Texas wouldn't share any of those TV money?
We might want to add Nebraska to that list. They went elsewhere, too.
And Nebraska.
That one deal, Nebraska may have been right before that or around the same time. But that one deal with ESPN did more damage to the Big 12 than anything before what happened a year ago.
Yep. Well, I appreciate your show, and you're amazing in the amount of things you can go back and pull up and remember. So you haven't really got to dementia yet.
Well, thank you.
Congratulations.
You know, that's a high compliment. I deeply appreciate that. You get to a point when you it's what every person says as they get older. You know, they can remember what 20, 30, 50 years ago. They just can't remember where their car is in the parking lot. Okay, it's grievance time. Let's talk to Jim.
Well, it is, Paul, because he lying scumbag says I'm 20. What, 77? That's his age now. He used to say.
I'm younger than he is.
I'm not 77. But let me tell you something, Paul. Okay. There's a good chance he'll be banned on Twitter. I reported his scumbag tweet, and he said it was honest. And there's nothing about him that's honest. But he's been banned, I think, on Twitter. I hope so. They're looking at it. That's all I can tell you. I reported what he said.
Right. Jim, he's still alive on Twitter.
The process hadn't finished. It'll probably be tonight before it finalizes.
Well, can you reveal this? Did you turn him into Twitter?
You damn right I turned him in. You damn right I turned him in.
That's what we call the money question in broadcasting.
And I'd turn him into the police if I could, because he's a thief. He's a liar. He's a scumbag. He's not dangerous. He's dangerous, Paul. Both him and that AC moron, they're dangerous, hateful, evil people. I'm telling you, Paul.
I'm not arguing with you. I'm not arguing, okay?
And I'll tell you something else, Paul. I've got discernment, whether you believe it or not. You know what that is?
Discernment, yes.
I'm talking about from the heavenly God, Father in heaven.
Well, no, I want you to explain that, because please.
Well, it means he lets you know things and you can understand things. That's what you call discernment.
So you have this innate ability to...
You know, there's a lot of people that are Christians that have that discernment, Paul. They can recognize the truth, and they recognize things, deeper spiritual things that other people can't recognize.
And you have that.
I think I do. In fact, I know I do.
That's a very unique thing to have.
Well, I'll tell you what, Paul. Let me just tell you, since we're on this subject, I'll tell you one more thing. Some moron today said 2034 about who was that? Oh, that was your PAT guy talking about 2034.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm not a betting man. I used to bet, and I was as good, almost as good as Danny Sheridan doing it. I can tell you right now, Paul, I'd lay 1,000 to 1 or more that there'll not be a 2034 before Jesus returns. You know how I go by that?
Please tell us.
You know where it says in the Bible? I can tell you it's in Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians. It talks about once the temple has been rebuilt. I know you're familiar with that, aren't you?
Sure.
Well, once the temple has been rebuilt, then watch for him at any time and to come back and take his people back away from this. And the rest of these, I'm not going to name names because you can't judge, but
no,
the rest of these.
No, absolutely not. Judge not.
Okay, but you know what I'm getting at. There'll be some left, and it won't be fun.
So you're suggesting that some people will not make it.
Well, Paul, it clearly says God will take his people out of this when he comes back, and the rest of them will be here. Now, they can still get saved, but the rest of the misery on earth will be unbelievable, Paul.
Okay.
Unbelievable.
No, I've heard.
You need to read.
I've heard ministers talk about this.
You need to read the Revelation in the Bible. You really need to read that.
Jim, up against a break here. I hate to say that after what you said, but we are out of time. We'll be right back. We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We are back, and Becky is in Texas, and you're next up. Hey, Becky.
Hey, how are you?
Very well, thank you.
I don't really have a question. I'm a first-time caller, graduated from the University of Arkansas, so I'm a big Razorback.
Sure.
I just wanted to share a short story, if I could.
Of course.
My dad was also a graduate from Arkansas. My mom's from there. I was an only child, and so my dad kind of treated me like the son, you know, he never had, and taught me everything about football. He knew so much, and it was sad because when he was in his late 50s, he got Alzheimer's.
Mm.
And but, you know, one thing that he still enjoyed was watching the Razorbacks on TV. I don't know if he understood as much with that disease, but we watched them together, and we had gone to games together. You know, he and my mom would come to they had season tickets when I was in school, and you know, it was just something that we shared. And I guess I'm sharing all this because, you know, everybody watches football, but, you know, it can be a real family affair. You know, it can be a very loving thing, and I had that with my dad, and I'll always be thankful. And I know if he was still alive, he would really enjoy your show, and he would love Coach Pittman. And so I watch your show all the time, and I just wanted to share that with you.
Well, Becky, if I could ask you a question, and nobody understands that disease particularly well, but when he watched it, I'm assuming that he did understand a little bit about it, didn't he? Even in his later days.
Well,
years?
He did. Yeah, he did. And this sounds kind of funny. I know one time we were watching the game, and they showed a rerun of it. You know how they would do a good play, And, you know, when they do that, that would kind of confuse him a little bit. And one time he looked at me and smiled and he said, you know, I think I can tell you what the next play is going to be. And, you know, it's because he watched the rerun. And, of course, I couldn't help but laugh. But, of course, it made me sad, too. But, you know, I don't know if he understood a lot of it. But, you know, I'd see him over there smiling, and that was enough for me.
What a fantastic story. And, Becky, all the best to you. Is your mom still around?
No, I lost her a couple of years ago to cancer.
My.
And she was never a real football fan. She was a golfer. We were a very athletic family, and I played tennis. But she loved college basketball, and she would love Coach Musk if she was still alive.
But Becky,
I mean, she would go crazy.
I'm so glad. We're going to end the week with you because it was such a fantastic call. But it's hard to imagine anybody with better coaches than what Arkansas has right now. Well, have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday.